Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, as expected, as promised, the interim general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones, here on the Burns and Gambo Show. James, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Well, we appreciate you coming on. We're good. Trade deadline coming up. Tell me how discussions are going with other teams, how active you've been when it comes to other teams.
I mean, we're, as usual, the same. You know, we're doing our business, talking to the teams out there. Seeing what opportunities may present themselves and just getting the lay of the land. But, you know, we're not pressing to do anything. We're just going to try to see what we have on the table. And when the trade deadline rolls around, if there's something to be done, we'll do it.
And I'm encouraged by that, to be honest with you. And I'm encouraged by you not panicking, and that's where teams make a lot of decisions, when they panic, when they rush to judgment, when they feel like I've got to do something for the sake of doing it. I've seen many teams do that, many organizations do that, and usually it's the wrong move. I mean, wait, be patient, the right move will come eventually, but, you know, it's very difficult because the team is struggling, it's been struggling for years, you want to try to rectify that, but there's a lot more bad moves that are out there than there are good moves. Would you agree?
I agree. I mean, I think if you do something because you feel pressure, you do something short-sighted, it always ends up coming to bite you in the end. And so, you know, the reason a lot of these players are available is because their teams don't think they fit long-term. Your teams think that those guys are declining in value. And so they'll try to push them upon you. And if you're desperate and they know that's something that you need, they're hopeful that they can kind of trick you into setting yourself up for, you know, short-term success, but long-term failure.
Right, and that's what you get when you start looking at players that are 31, 32 years old. Yeah, short-term success, yeah, but long-term failure, possibly. Do you feel it's more likely that you'll add pieces to this roster via trade, free agency, or draft?
I think most likely free agency and draft. They're you know, a lot of the teams that have the quality players, they're going for it, and they're, you know, this NBA landscape is different. You have a couple teams up top like Golden State who, you know, they still have the pieces, but at times they look vulnerable, and then you have teams down at in the mix like the Portlands. You know, you have the teams like Denver that are kind of surging and they're right there, but depending on the moves they make, and they could either be in it this year and next year and then be completely out of it in 24 months. So with that type of landscape, with operating that type of landscape, it's very, very hard to project or to say that we'll be able to add a player that fits with us long term via trades. It's just not, you know, it's just not something teams are looking to do, where they're looking to get rid of good players and help us grow.
Yeah, and listen, we all want to see this team improve and get better, and you know, we could see that there are a lot of really good pieces in place right now for the future. My history of watching this league, your history of playing in this league, it's very rare that you see a player, you know, from age 32 to 35 or 32 to 36, you know, get better, and usually that's when the decline starts. Is that what you've noticed over the years? Do you have to be somewhat reluctant to go after older players because of the fact that they're very likely declining?
Of course, especially when you factor in that the speed and pace of the game has increased. So the elite players, you know, there are very few of those guys between the ages of 32 to 35 that maintain a high level and really take a jump. For the most part, our team is all under 20. They're all under 22. So if you try to add someone that's 33, 34 years old with a 22-year-old, it usually just doesn't work. There's too big of a gap. So we're focused on adding veterans, but just not the veterans that are at that declining point.
James Jones, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Does your organization have an issue that needs to be addressed when it comes to how your players deal with referees and conflict on the floor based off of what we've seen in two of the last three games?
Yes, we do. You know, that's something that we've been adamant, I mean, that we stress to our guys is, you know, it's tough. Winning in this league is tough. And when you're competing, sometimes you get a good whistle, other times you don't. But our job is to compete and to compete at a high level with integrity and to move on to the next play. And I do believe that we get a bad whistle sometimes, but if you look at it on balance, we get some favorable calls too. So it's more on us to be focused, to persevere, to compete, and to take these victories. You know, we can't rely on the referees or the flow of the game to dictate how we compete.
Was Devin Booker lacking in that focus last night? Is that something you need to have a conversation with him about based off of what happened last night?
It's an ongoing conversation with Devin. You know, he understands that, you know, there's a greater level of expectation, you know, as he continues to grow and to take, as he takes this leadership position with the team. I wish it could have been handled differently, but this is an emotional game, and sometimes your emotions get the best of you. But if you ask him, he understands. He's just ultra competitive. He has a lot of room for growth, and we'll keep pushing him to just do things the right way.
James, I was at the game last night in the locker room afterwards. How difficult is it to be a leader of an entire organization at that age?
Oh, it's extremely difficult. You know, it's not uncommon for young guys to struggle. Struggle figuring out how to perform on the floor and also take on that pressure, that burden of leading your team, of basically being the face of the city. But that's something that Devin relishes, and I truly believe if you look at his basketball talent, it'll make it easier for him to be a leader for this organization and for his teammates, because the object of the game of basketball is to put the ball in the basket. He can do it just as good as anyone else, and so when you can do that, guys will follow you.
You know, Kyrie, some people criticized him. I don't know why, when he made the phone call to LeBron just to say, hey, you know, I want to apologize. I kind of recognize what you had to go through to be the leader of an organization. I thought that was an example for Devin to look at, too. I mean, look at Kyrie, you know, realizing now at his age, man, it's hard. Like, it is a very difficult thing to do, to be the leader, to be the best player, to be able to give it your all every single night, night in, night out. You know, only few players have been able to do it. You know, you look at Kobe, you look at LeBron, and there's been others. But, I mean, it just shows you with what Kyrie said, you know, and calling LeBron, just how difficult it is.
Well, you don't call those guys greats for nothing. You know, they do something that's extremely difficult, which is compete at a high level and do it consistently, despite all the challenges. And so Kyrie, he's right. You know, you don't really know how tough it is until you go through it. And our guys are going through it right now, but I think, you know, our situation will make Devin better. He knows it. It will make him tougher. And at the end of this thing, he'll be the leader that we all know he's capable of being and that he expects himself to be.
James, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Oh, you got it. Thanks, guys.